This past spring, Harvard University gave permission to the Satanic Temple of New York to have a black mass on campus. This was one of their cultural extension studies opportunities. Well, keep in mind that for a satanic black mass, what happens is a desecration of the Holy Eucharist. This is a perversion of our Holy Mass. So a Satanist will come to early Mass in some Catholic parish, receive communion in the hand, and instead of consuming the sacred host, walk out the door, stealing our Lord. That night, they'll have a mockery of our Mass, but worshiping Satan. Then they'll take the consecrated host, and they will desecrate it, usually by defecation. That was Harvard's permission given to them. Well, thank God, literally, that an outrage occurred, and Harvard withdrew its permission. The satanic black mass occurred off campus. But on May the 12th, the night that it was scheduled, the local parish church, St. Paul's, where the campus ministry program is held, had a holy hour as well as a Eucharistic procession. And there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people in attendance. How wonderful that is. But the point is, what do they believe? What do those Satanists know that so many of us Catholics do not believe? Consider that. And also, think of this. If someone had painted a swastika on a synagogue, or burnt a Quran, or maybe said a racist comment like Donald Sterling of the LA Clippers, that would have been all over the media. We would have had national news attention, apologies from the White House, and so on. But this really didn't receive much attention because the media doesn't want people to even understand, know, consider what the Holy Eucharist is. So we have to wonder then, what is it that they know? What is it that they are afraid of others knowing that we believe? And the point is, we believe that the Holy Eucharist is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. It's not just a symbol. It's not just a piece of blessed bread. It's the body, soul, divinity, blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe this because of what Jesus taught us. Consider our gospel, taken from the 6th chapter of St. John, which I would encourage all of you to reread this afternoon. It begins with the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. Jesus miraculously used 5 loaves of bread to feed over 5,000. Then he's questioned why, and what does all this mean? Our Lord gives this beautiful discourse, climaxing in, I am the bread of life come down from heaven. He who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood true drink. This is what our Lord taught. Fast forward to the Last Supper, he takes bread, he takes wine. 2 sources of common nourishment. There, he says over the bread, this is my body. Over the chalice of wine, this is my blood. With the same efficacious words by which he could transform 5 loaves to feed 5,000, or cure the blind man, the woman with the hemorrhage, the paralyzed man, raise Lazarus from the dead, change water into wine, our Lord miraculously, mysteriously transformed that bread and wine into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Yes, the outward appearances do not change because it has to be palatable for us to receive. But nevertheless, miraculously, Christ is sharing with us himself. Keep in mind, too, that that Last Supper event is linked to Good Friday. For the next day, Jesus, as priest, offers himself on the altar of the cross as our sacrifice for sin. His body hangs there. His blood is spilt to wash away our sins. And even with that, that event is connected with Easter, when our Lord rises triumphantly from the dead, conquering then not just sin, death itself, and then ascends into heaven where he is. But the beauty of all of this, put it all together, Christ is truly present to us sacramentally through the gift of the Holy Eucharist. So at this Mass, we remember, as St. Paul accounts, from that first century of our church, when we gather here for Mass, we are fed by God's Word, but we're fed with the Holy Eucharist. The priest who's ordained to act in the person of Christ through the sacrament of holy orders, with the authority given by our Lord to the apostles, takes bread and wine, says the words of our Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, the will of the Father, that bread and wine truly is transformed into his body, blood, soul, and divinity. Granted, the characteristics do not change, the taste, color, size, shape, smell, and so on. But the what it is, the substance, changes. We don't receive blessed bread. We don't receive blessed wine. We receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord. Of course, we call this change of the what it is, the substance, transubstantiation. For this reason, when we're finished with communion, we reserve the Blessed Sacrament in the tabernacle. Unlike a Protestant communion service, we don't put the hosts back in the jar. We know the change has occurred. How beautiful this is. And yet, as poor human beings who struggle with doubts, who live in such a scientific, technological age, we may have doubts. That's really part of this feast day, too, because this day is the 750th anniversary of the institution of the feast day of Corpus Christi. Take our minds back to the year 1263. A priest by the name of Peter of Prague, from Prague, what would be the Czech Republic today, was on pilgrimage to Rome. And he was a good priest, pious, humble, but he was questioning, does it all happen? So he stops at the little town of Bolsena, about 100 miles above Rome. That morning, he offers Mass in the Church of St. Christina, one of the early martyrs of our church. As he's offering Mass, and with the little few people, congregation that there is, he prays for faith, that he wants to truly, totally believe. When he takes the host, the piece of unleavened bread, and he says those words, "This is my body," that host began to bleed, and the blood went down his fingers and onto the corporal, the cloth on the altar. Of course, he was awestruck. He begins to cry. The people in the congregation are awestruck. What to do? Well, Pope Urban IV was in the next town of Orvieto. So they gather up everything there on the altar, the whole little group of witnesses goes to Orvieto. They explain this to Pope Urban. He declares, truly, this is a miracle. To this day, you can go to Orvieto and see the blood-stained corporal still intact. He declares this a miracle, and then the next year, 1264, that he instituted the Feast of Corpus Christi to help all of us remember this precious gift of the Holy Eucharist. Well, my brothers and sisters, given, we could say, the proof from evil, the Satanists, who know what all this is about, and this Eucharistic miracle, what about us? We believe, but we need to ask for the grace to believe more fervently, especially in our world today. The way to do that is through reverence, a virtue that opens our soul to the grace of God, to faith. So with reverence, each Sunday morning, you're here. Most of you probably have the regular 7:30 kind of Mass. Prepare yourselves for Mass. Take time, maybe the night before, to pray, read the readings, do an examination of conscience. St. Paul, in that passage from 1 Corinthians, goes on and says, anyone who partakes of the Eucharist unworthily brings condemnation on himself. If, God forbid, any of us were in a state of mortal sin, or maybe we haven't been to confession in over a year, we ought to go to confession. How awful it'd be to receive the Eucharist unworthily. Prepare yourselves, too, by not just rolling in, but really remembering you're coming to visit the Lord. This is God's day. I have to encourage you parents to make sure your children receive this. It's always sad when you see kids come to Mass and they have the dirty hands, dirty face, look like they rolled out of bed, clothes that are fit for a playground, and so on. We should instill in our children, our young people, this is God's day. We're coming to God's house. We're here to worship God. How important that is. And this day should be God's day, a day to be with your family, today to have rest. In our world today, I think Satan is winning by making us so busy that Sunday becomes the catch-up day, where everybody goes scattershot, different activities, instead of the day to worship God, to rest, to be with your family. But then when you're here, hopefully when you come in, take the time to try to get here early so that you can settle down. Before I offer Mass, I need time to clear my head. I can't just rush into this. Same thing for you all. You need time to clear the mind. Come early. When you come in, take the holy water, make the sign of the cross. It reminds us of our baptism, our identity as a Christian. Before entering the pew, genuflect. Follow along in the readings. We don't have music here at this Mass, because I know you all are the quiet types, but nevertheless, if you were at a musical Mass, participate. Sometimes I look out at Mass, it's like I'm in a statue of, or a garden of statues that don't move lips. No, we need to pray. And pray means to read, to sing, to open our mouths in prayer, because that lifts up our hearts. If you ask any good physician, it releases all those endorphins, like singing in the shower makes us feel good. Well, singing at Mass, reading at Mass, praying at Mass makes us feel good. It helps us worship. But then in receiving communion, be very mindful of how you receive. Again, reverence. This is the annual review of Holy Communion. And so when you're coming up the aisle, hands should be folded in humility. Before you come before the priest or the minister, make sure you bow profoundly or a genuflection. I wish we had an altar rail, but we don't, so we have a bow or a genuflection. And then when receiving, either you can receive on the tongue, which technically is the preferred way, and the priest says the body of Christ, you say amen, put out your tongue, receive the host, sign of the cross, back to the pew. And if you're receiving on the hand, the church says you make a throne. You need two hands. That's the way it is. You make a throne for God. Hand that takes goes underneath. Now the hands need to be clean. So now and then a little one will have, hi Father, on the hand. That's nice. Or a happy face. That's nice. Sometimes adults have phone numbers. I think they want a date with me or something like that. But the hands have to be clean. And then, priest says the body of Christ, you say amen, priest places host on hand, step to the side, adore, consume, sign of the cross, back to the pew. Now that's important, because if you want to be a body snatcher that just walks away with the host, I'm coming after you. Because, like I said, there are those Satanists. And in our own church, we found two hosts once that were in a hymnal, and I caught somebody walking out the door with a host in the pocket. So we don't want that to happen. Step to the side, adore. Now, I've seen it all, and you know that. But, first of all, the response is, amen. I say body of Christ, you say amen. Once a person said, I am. Well, if you are, jump in the tabernacle. No, the proper response is amen. If you receive on the tongue, please put forth your tongue. They're always the clams. And you have to poke, you know, sort of shove Jesus in there. Or you have the lizard. Or you have the snappers. And I'm like, oh, lost a finger. Oh, Obamacare won't take care of that, will it? So, or you have the hand people. And the hand people sometimes are like the jugglers. Pick one, Father. The basket weavers. Woo-hoo. Venus flytraps. Or you have the praying mantises that want to do this. Or the best is our pro-choice Catholics that give me the choice. So, no. It's you have to receive properly. But then go back and give thanks. Pray. Because the Eucharist unites us in communion with our Lord, with us gathered here, and with all our fellow Catholics throughout the world. Pray for your family. Pray for those Christians who today risk their lives to go to Mass in Syria or in Iraq. Imagine that. Those poor Christians, those Catholics, when they receive communion, it may be their last. And pray, I ask you to, for those who will commit a sacrilege. Because no matter how I've tried to explain it, there are always those who just walk out the door, like Judas. They have no sense of what they have received. They just walk out the door. Not because of sickness. Every Sunday, the same ones. Pray for them that they'll have a conversion of heart. It's wrong, but it's also a sacrilege, just like Judas committed at the Last Supper. So, my brothers and sisters, we're called to have this reverence. And what a beautiful gift it is to know Christ comes to share in our life. I would challenge you, too, maybe this summer when things are a little slower, start coming to daily Mass once a week. Or maybe on Thursdays when we have adoration, come here to adore our Lord for 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I guarantee you, if you open your heart to our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, your life will change. Archbishop Fulton Sheen always said this. Your life will change because Christ will be with you to share in your walk of life. The good times, the tough times, the happy times, the times of sorrow. Christ is present to us. Through this gift, we have to be present to Him. May God bless you.